What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, June 6th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki Doki, and glad to be here, Greg.
How are you?
I'm chipper today. It's been a lot of fun this morning.
It's been a great day.
It has.
You know what I mean? It started off great for me.
Yeah.
New comic book day.
Yep.
Awesome. We're doing party modes today. Awesome.
Yep.
Yes, your eyes don't deceive you. I'm wearing a t-shirt again on this show.
Ooh. No!
This time, though, it's got, I love this shirt. I had it sent to me, obviously, from London.
Whoa. Oh, London.
I'll come up higher. London, if you're watching. Because over there, we went at Judges Week, went and saw PlayStation games, right?
Okay.
Ran into this guy, Stuart, from the London studio. He was wearing this shirt. I said, that shirt's amazing.
It is amazing.
He's like, yeah, it's a studio shirt. I'm like, can I get one? He's like, I'll see if I can send you one. He sent me one. It's a size too small, and I think I'm pulling it off, number one.
Oh.
But also, I just think the shirt looks good.
I think it fits
you. If you're an audio listener, it's got the L for London. It's got the PlayStation VR. It's got the PlayStation logo, and it says London Studio.
You say it's too small. I think it fits nicely.
Well, I'm an XL.
Uh-huh.
And so now I'm in a large. And I think it's showing off the titties a bit too,
more than I normally
more than a shirt normally does for me. Okay. And I'm worried that after one wash, it's toast.
Oh, the wash could be a problem.
You know what I mean?
But right now, it looks great.
Thank you very much. Jared, you're wearing a Dynamite shirt.
Oh, yeah. I got this Tacoma shirt. The nice folks over at Fulbright, I ordered one of their closeout shirts for like $5.
Yeah.
Then it turned out that they'd closed them out and they couldn't find the shirt. But instead of like just being jerks about it, like a lot of places would, they wrote me all these ridiculously like thoughtful handwritten notes. Like, how do we make this right? What can we get for you? And so instead they send me this awesome brand new Tacoma shirt for far less than I would have originally paid for it, along with this handwritten thankful note there in the box. And then I just got a notification this morning that they found the Fulbright shirt, and they're sending me that one too.
Look at you.
Nice people.
I like this so much on the morning show, I went to buy it, and they are sold out of both versions of
really?
It.
Really? Would you like to borrow mine?
What? You keep that one. Don't worry.
Right.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else.
It wouldn't
throw me off, Kevin, that the lower third came in way too high. So you're going, fuck, Jesus, God
damn. I mean, he just catches me off guard.
I think it's just float around like that normally. Like,
once you submit your question, watch the show live as we record it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Give us all the corrections to the things we screw up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you.
Uh-oh.
Greg's Comic Book Club, live right now on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Thank you, Gene Yang.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Gene Yang, who writes New Superman for DC Comics, is there, talks to me about that. And then we do the Descenders, and we pick a new book, and it's amazing, and everybody has it. Just good luck on Patreon. There's a new party mode up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It costs you nothing, and you get to see me insult Nick, because I'm the new champion, and he is not. E3 is coming up. That's right. Saturday it all begins. And remember, here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we're doing live shows, live reactions, and post shows for each and every conference. You can come here, watch all the conferences with us, starting with EA on Saturday, continuing on through Nintendo. No, we're not doing the PC one. No, we're not doing the Devolver one. Maybe something else happens. And we're not doing the Limited Run one, just because they snuck in there.
Oh,
I'm
going
to watch them and see.
Limited Run's having a conference?
Yesterday they announced they're doing one.
I missed this completely.
I'm excited. I can't wait to see what they're doing.
I love Limited Run. Yeah,
me too.
They make some
me
great
too.
Stuff. You got something from them lately?
Lately, have I gotten anything from them? No, but I'm not a big collector. They always offer. They're great guys. The GDC, I ran into them again. They want to do stuff together. I'm just like, I don't want to. Don't give me the stuff. Sell the stuff.
Send them my way.
Oh,
send them my way.
I can do that. I can make a connection. You want to
make that connection? Let's make that connection. Absolutely.
Remember that every one of the live reactions goes up later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. The post shows are Gamescast, so they go up in the Gamescast MP3 feeds as well as youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And then we can officially announce Thursday we are working with GameSpot as part of the co-op stage. So is Jared Petty.
Yes.
You're also live at what time?
12:40.
12:40, Jared's on the GameSpot stage. We are on at 2:40. You can catch us through. We end it then. We're 2:40 till the ending. A whole bunch of cool games and guests are coming through that I can't announce yet. Maybe, finally, you know, I'm going to say it. Finally getting a crossover with Major Nelson.
Oh, no
Very
kidding.
Excited. We've never
happening?
Worked together on camera. I'm going to say it's happening because it is happening. But if that invalidates it, then you'll understand why I suddenly have spaces to fill.
Are you going to promote him to Lieutenant Colonel Nelson?
I'm looking. I want to get part of the Major Nelson Army. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. I'm sick of Nitro Rifle over there having his NRA. I gotta figure out how to get in there or whatever.
So that is a lot of kind of funny content.
Yeah. And if you're there, if you're going to E3, if you're actually in the LA area, you don't have to have a badge. We're doing a meet and greet Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. in LA Live. There's details about that on kindoffunny.com. You can go there. No badges needed. Jared's doing the same thing Tuesday.
Yep. Tuesday night at 8 at the GameSpot Battle Rig at LA Live.
That's where we're doing it too.
Yeah. You don't need a pass to get in, so just come by, please.
And then finally, this show is brought to you by Omaha Steaks, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you, Kevin. Number 1, fucking hold on to your dicks and or your asses or other genitalia or whatever you have. Tetris. Fucking effect is real. Mizuguchi is making a Tetris game.
Oh yeah.
The man behind Rez and Luminous. It is making a Tetris game.
It is as if Jesus of Nazareth himself opened the sky, looked down at Jared and said, Jared, all your prayers are answered. I have given you what you never knew you wanted, that you always wanted. Here you go.
I'm so happy. Everyone knows if you follow Greg Miller, if you follow Greg Miller for a long time, you know I love Luminous.
Yes.
You know that I love Tetris.
Yeah.
I would have never, and you put up a great tweet about this today. I would have never expected Mizuguchi to be able to come over and make a Tetris game. Tetris Effect is what it's called. It was the announcement today on the PlayStation blog. Of course, they had talked about it earlier that starting today, Wednesday, they're going to have something 8 a.m. every day leading into E3. Yeah. Today was the PlayStation 4 / PlayStation VR game, and it is Tetris Effect.
Nobody works in VR like this guy.
No.
Nobody.
Not at all. If you have not played Res Infinite in VR,
especially Area X. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's coming this fall, PlayStation 4 with PlayStation VR support. Over on the blog, Mizuguchi wrote, Tetris Effect is designed to maximize the magical, scientifically proven aspect of Tetris that it's named after. Of course, the trailer is up. It's mind-bending. When they debuted it, it was this thing. It starts with, the game from Mizuguchi. I'm like, oh, fuck, cool. Yeah. All right. And it starts going, and you're like, oh, man, it looks like Luminous. No, that looks like a Tetris piece, but there's no way. And then it was a Tetris game.
He's like, holy cow.
God, is it great. Go read the whole blog. Go watch the trailer.
Yeah.
Right now, Lord of Pwn writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, hey, Greg and Jared, how excited are you for Tetris Effect? It's Tetris that you love, but made by the legendary Mizuguchi and in VR. Are we in for a trippy musical masterpiece with enhanced rumble technology, wink? Or is this just going to be another dope, addictive game like Luminous? At least it's not made by Ubisoft, so you shouldn't have to worry about your friends list not making the game unplayable. Have a great E3, because it's already started, apparently. Lord of Pwn.
I think Lord of Pwn, the answer is both, with the exception of the wink, which, of course, he's referring to the transvibrator from Rez, which you could use to pleasure yourself while playing, or a friend, if you so desire.
Don't put yourself... You tweeted this at me the other... No, it was Panda Must tweeted this the other day, because apparently not a lot of people have been paying attention. When I went to demo Luminous on Switch, the new Luminous that's coming out this month now, when I sat down to play, they were like, all right, cool, here's the controller, and then here's 6 other Joy-Cons.
Yep.
Put them in your pockets, put them under your knees, put them somewhere else.
Yep.
And it's going to have the rumble. And so, like, the trans vibrator is alive and well.
Well, that's that required reading we did a couple of weeks ago, the Jeremy Parrish article about Luminous. They talked about that and that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big part. So the trans vibrator is alive and well. Will this support that? I wouldn't be surprised if it comes on Switch eventually, but this is a VR thing.
Sure,
so
but if this remains crazy, a Sony exclusive, turn on your other PlayStation 4 controllers and put them on your knees and shit. Like, they're not above
they'll
that.
They'll find a way, but whether it is or not, the main thing here is going to be the visual appeal and the way this guy just seemingly effortlessly blends music and a sense of space and the use of color and stylized graphics that harken back to a different age but somehow still feel like they're from the future.
What are your initial impressions from the trailer and what are your hopes for the game?
My initial impressions are that they're just trying to give us a feel for something that you're not going to be able to understand until you properly experience it. There's not going to be like the great story trailer for Tetris. So they did what they had to do. They're like, here is a sense of what you're going to get. Here's an auditory, here's a taste. They just want to give you a little taste of something that you can't really experience without putting on the headset.
Big Kev Dog, can I get you for the rare times on Kinda Funny Games Daily to do a picture-in-picture of the web browser? Can you toss up the PlayStation blog, click on it? Because when you go in, they have images up there in the post. And from Mizuguchi's post, they have stuff of like playing Tetris in space. Like, it looks like you're in... A space station.
I mean, struggling. If you go back all the way to 1987, Spectra Holobyte Tetris.
Yeah.
Like it has the Tetris board mounted against backgrounds, like out the window of a space station.
Kev, just click on
out
read
in the
more.
Snow or in downtown Moscow. Like even then, there was this idea that it was happening in a different area. That there was this kind of, and so they, I think they're just taking that to the nth degree finally.
Yeah.
And running with it.
Like here you go. This is beautiful. This is what I would expect, but it looks like Tetris, right? Yeah. Like, with the cool visuals. What you expect?
It reminds me of like what they did with Space Invaders Extreme with Jeff Minner. Same idea where they're creating stuff. But it's not, even though it's beautiful, it's not distracting. See how clear the gameplay is. Like there's all this, you know, all these fireworks going on, but the game itself is still very clear. They're not gonna
right above number five is the one where it looks like you're in a space station, like right anti-grav doing it. And so that's where it gets interesting for me of how this is going to work in VR, right? Is it that I can move my head in any direction and I have basically the Tetris up like a HUD, and then I can still explore the environment as I go around?
Quite possibly, yeah. Or maybe tricks where you're going to be able to, like, what if, you know, the blocks always drop from the top? What if you can climb over the top and fool with it?
What if
you can get underneath and pull things out? Kinds of cool stuff they can do with this.
Yeah.
I really, because Tetris has had a gajillion sequels and spinoffs.
Yeah.
And some of the, they vary in quality like immensely from things like Hattris, which is kind of forgettable, all the way to some of the party games, which are incredible. He was born to make this game.
We're very excited.
Yeah.
We can't wait to see what it's all about. Congratulations to everybody there. Yeah. And hey, good job PlayStation on starting something. Now, granted, I know a lot of people are like, I don't give a flying fuck about this game. But for us, it worked and it was a good announcement. So it's actually, all right, what do you got? What do you got every day this week?
I can't wait for the party mode.
Oh my God. Yeah, right? Yeah, you think there'll be multiplayer in this? There has to be multiplayer in this.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I feel like what? Tetris Ultimate and Tetris Battle and like Puyo Puyo Tetris. Like they've all had
the original Game Boy Tetris had multiplayer.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah. Number two, Sega Atlas has unveiled their E3 lineup. I'm using Gamatsu's article written by Sal Romano. I'm just pulling from it. Two new Atlas titles will be announced on June 7th. A trailer for Catherine Full Body will also be at E3. Gamatsu has discovered atlas.com/PD, a currently restricted access directory that will possibly host the Atlas USA website for Persona 3 Dancing Moon Knight and Persona 5 Dancing Star Knight, which may be the two Atlas title announcements planned for June 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, these are the games that are announced at E3 that are playable for Sega Atlas, according to Gamatsu. Shining, Resonance, Refrain for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Team Sonic Racing for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Valkyria Chronicles 4. Hell yes. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch. Can't wait, Jared.
Yeah,
fucking wait.
The fact that this is a full console release of a series that has seemingly lost its way and may at last be being brought home.
Yeah.
In my opinion, Sega's best game, the original.
You know what? God damn it. I knew I hired you for a reason. You got a great head on your shoulders. Bad movie taste, but great head on your shoulders when it comes to great games.
Yeah.
Yakuza Kiwami 2 is coming to PlayStation 4. Now it says following will not be playable. Total War 3 Kingdoms on PC.
Yeah, that got delayed today, actually.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah,
I missed
it. Got delayed to spring 2019. I added it in the doc while you were on Morning Show.
So that's the lineup they have there. What do you think, Jared?
I think two things. The first thought, of course, the most important, is that this greatly reinforces the idea that I'm going to get a point for my Gamescast predictions, because I think one of these will be mentioned at the Nintendo conference.
Ooh.
And all Nintendo has to do is mention Atlas in their conference, and I get one prediction
there
point.
There you go. Nailed
so
it.
I think I'm getting that.
Okay.
Second, Gamescast Atlas predictions is my favorite third-party publisher.
Wow, okay.
And this is a list I want to see.
Yeah.
Valkyria alone would be enough to send me into apoplexy.
Dude, I can't wait.
Yeah, a real proper console release plus a Switch version.
Yep.
Everything I want in life. If you didn't play Valkyria Chronicles, by the way, still available on PC and an excellent version.
And there's a PlayStation 4 remastered version.
So, play this game. It's so good.
It's
just so
Valkyria
good.
Chronicles is so good.
Now, the sequels, not so much.
What? 2 was great on PSP.
I wasn't crazy about the Teen Heroes vibe of the second one.
Okay. That's understandable.
I didn't
gameplay was still great.
Yeah, the gameplay was
and
very
I liked
good.
How the breadth of missions. There was so much content.
Yes, I'm being unfair to it because I didn't like the vibe.
That's
of
fine. I understand that.
Because I thought so much of the first game was that atmosphere. That kind of weird.
And Alicia and like, hey, we're fighting for her.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Alicia, right? Why does that not sound right as I'm saying?
Because I don't remember the names of anything ever. And
we're going to full stop everything to get
probably
the
had a stroke
characters.
Here in the middle of the show trying to remember. Dead brain cells. Don't get old. Your brain stops working. mine never worked all that well anyway. Well, Greg's looking this up. But yeah, if you haven't played Valkyria, I'm going to talk while he's looking this up. It's superb. It's a tactical RPG with a genuinely great story. It's a, particularly the first game, a little more mature in the not like gritty sense, but in the thoughtful sense than a lot of games in the genre tend to be. If you're normally turned off by JRPGs, this is actually a really good.
This is a great one.
And
the combat, so that's what I think. The gameplay of it stands out, and then it turns out, guess what? You've got a great cast of characters here.
Yeah, it's a really nifty game.
There's Welkin. I knew that part.
No, you're still looking it up here.
Well, it's just like you know how it is when it's just a giant wall of text.
That's okay.
Alicia. No, I was right. That's how you pronounce it.
Okay.
Alicia.
Okay.
No, all right.
I seriously, it's been a while.
No, I know that. I'm just. It's like one of those words I say, and then I see it in my head. I'm like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Now I just want to go back. Oh man, I want to fire up Steam and play this.
I've been thinking about it on PlayStation 4 about kicking it back, and I'm like, I won't have it beat before E3. It's not worth it. Blah. But man, I'm always hurting for that game. Let's get into some numbers for you, or not even some, just like vague stuff on some of it. Number three, Detroit's doing pretty dang well, at least in Japan. This is via Quantic Dream on Twitter. They write there, Detroit is the most successful Quantic Dream game ever released in Japan. It sold more units in the first few days of commercialization than Heavy Rain did on PS3 for its lifetime.
That's very interesting. I wonder why.
I don't know. Yeah. What about Heavy? I guess.
I'd really like to see the Japanese marketing.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at any of it at all before this. I probably should have done that in show prep, and I didn't. I wonder what the hook is.
You just came in
is.
Here and yelled about Back to the Future?
I did. I was very excited about Back to the
Future. Do you think it's... No, because PlayStation 3 was successful in Japan, right?
Yeah, it
but
did
I mean,
okay.
Like, at the point of Heavy Rain's release, what were the numbers, I guess, would be the big
thing,
right?
Yeah, that's true. PS3 was not exactly rocking that world there.
And then
you
would know better than me. Because this seems like a generalization on my part, or not even, but I'm trying to hypothesize a reason. Would it be that a Western feeling murder mystery doesn't resonate as much as androids?
Actually, that's the thing. In Japan, that would probably sell really well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mysteries, detective shows, those are really big over there.
Okay.
And a European styled one.
Yeah.
I mean, that Sherlock Holmes, a very popular idea over there. They have lots of mystery video games that are literally storytelling murder mysteries. That's still a popular subgenre there more than it is here.
Yeah.
So actually, Heavy Rain should have done really well.
Huh. That is weird, then.
Maybe that's the appeal, though. Maybe they've leaned into that. I mean, there are games that never came to the United States that are bona fide like cultural classics there from the 80s.
Yeah.
And at least one of those is a kind of a murder arcing series that's formed the whole sort of visual novel genre that we enjoy today spun out of that.
Huh.
So there's a great heritage there. Maybe they just leaned into that this time and captured that.
Interesting.
Yeah, and again, PS3 wasn't doing gangbusters in Japan at the beginning,
that's the thing. I think, yeah, maybe, just, and then by the time that happened, it just wasn't a game people were talking about over there.
Yeah.
Number four for you, Nier is doing really well, too. I know a lot of people love Nier over on the Nier Japanese account. They tweeted this that got translated from a site I stole it from, and I forget who. The PlayStation 4 Steam Nier Automata has surpassed 3 million in total worldwide shipping and download sales. Really, thank you very much.
Okay, so this mostly just gives me hope for my third Nier game. In this contemporary generation.
Yeah.
We've had Nier Automata. So now I'm really hoping for the third one in the trilogy, starring Celine Dion, Nier, Far, Wherever You Are.
Such a piece
of
garbage.
Really want that to exist. I would play the heck out of Nier,
I would
Far,
I mean,
you are.
Yeah. Put Celine Dion in any game, I'm going to play it.
You watch Deadpool 2 yet?
Oh, yeah. That's
Celine Dion, man.
Good job, Nier. Congratulations, everybody. I think you're pretty much guaranteed to get another entry in that series, right, Jared?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People like money.
Yeah.
And good games.
Number five, I titled it, Okay, We Get It, Fortnite is Coming to Switch. This is via Shibana Reef over at IGN says, Fortnite's logo and update file for the game have been discovered on the Nintendo Switch eShop. Twitter user... Skiersum uncovered the Fortnite details on the eShop, which side note was updated recently to enhance game discovery. Fortnite hasn't officially been announced by Switch, though there's been speculation it will be revealed for the hybrid console at E3 next week. Of course, we've talked about it on the show a bunch. There was the Korean ratings board putting a rating on it.
Yeah.
There was that leak of a whole bunch of what looked to be game title placards that made it look pretty dang official that would be there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, Fortnite come to Switch.
Yeah, this is the least and a day where we got the most surprising video game announcement of the year in Rez Tetris.
Yeah.
We also get the least surprising video game news of the year and Fortnite coming to Switch.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I like Fortnite. I was playing with Andy this week. Apparently, Big Kev Dog, myself, and Nick Scarpino are playing tonight. Streaming twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. I'll believe when I see it. Nick's already walked out of there and he forgot. He's not gonna download it in time.
You don't think so?
Sorry. Kevin Coelho from kindoffunny.com, you have a question from the press pool.
Are you going to play it no matter what?
I'll play no matter what if you guys play. Like, I don't want to play. I'm not going to solo it tonight, probably. But if other people are jumping on, sure.
No, I mean, I'll jump on for sure.
Well, no, you want to keep playing Assassin's Creed. You've been tearing that. Kevin Coelho, up to 4 this morning playing Assassin's Creed.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that why the computer didn't work this morning?
No. And it did work this morning.
Just not in the time frame we wanted. But
oh, yeah. 100% on.
So you're in 100% for Fortnite tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in.
I thought that was clear.
Sure, just making sure.
Ooh, you know what I'm making? I just remembered right now. Totally off topic.
Sure, no, who cares?
Ribs.
Oh.
36 hours.
Ooh. 36 hour ribs.
Yeah.
I mean,
in the sous vide.
Ooh, I'm impressed. Do you have a smoker or?
No, a sous vide.
Oh, in a sous vide. Oh, I heard you. I'm sorry.
I made chorizo tacos last night.
Uh-huh.
Insanely good.
Yeah.
And I have extra chorizo. I'm just going to make it again tonight. Jen's not here to stop me. You know what I mean?
Also, now that we're talking about food,
yeah.
That chorizo burrito, I miss it.
Yeah. La Fonda. If you're ever in San Francisco and you want a good chorizo burrito, La Fonda.
That sounds really, really good.
On Irving.
All I made last night was a big pile of meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nick's on his diet. He's walking around this morning for breakfast. He had a meat and broccoli.
Yeah. Meat and broccoli is a good breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. It's good food anytime.
But yeah. You know what? But I think I'd rather have a chorizo burrito.
Oh,
or 36 hour ribs.
Sure. Yeah. Mm. Fortnite, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames tonight, maybe. And then Fortnite on Switch, probably 83. Number 6, the final story. The Game Awards have set a date for the 2018 show. And as usual, Jared Petty in the fucking tank for Twinfinite.
Absolutely.
Who wrote this? We credit the author now, remember?
Oh, I didn't credit the author. We credit the author all the time now?
LeBlanc? Yeah. I haven't been doing that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, that's my fault.
It's okay, because this LeBlanc kid from Twinfinite made a big stink about it on Reddit.
Now,
when I say a big stink, I said he's like, hey, I got a job at Twinfinite. Can you start saying names so I can get credit for it?
I don't think it was him. No, I think it was a different name that I saw this on, but I didn't put
Kevin,
the name
I need
it.
You to pull up a separate tab and go to Twinfinite. Find Twinfinite. Is it Twinfinite.com?
Yeah, Twinfinite.com.
Twinfinite.com.
I think it's Twinfinite, not net, actually.
Yeah, well, you'll find it, Kevin, over there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this is how the story goes about the Game Awards. The Game Awards 2018 is coming back once more for the yearly award show, and it's touching down for its annual installment on Thursday, December 6th. This is not LeBlanc. This is Brittany Vincent. Congratulations, Brittany Vincent. Try to shove it all together. The tweet they have in their article says, see you this December. The Game Awards returns live on Thursday, December 6th from the MS Theater in Los Angeles. Tickets are on sale Friday at the address there if you want to go.
Yep.
I assume I'll be there if I haven't pissed Jeff Keighley off. By that
oh,
point.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder if I'll get invited this year.
I can pull some strings.
Can you pull some strings?
Yeah.
Man, I would accomplish nothing in life without you.
That's what I'm here for, though.
Yeah.
You know what
really?
I mean? Yeah. I'm here to give you shortcuts.
You're here to lift me up.
I raise you up.
There we go. See, you got the right lyrics. We've never
Josh Groban,
karaoke
man.
Together.
I think he gets in trouble. A lot of people don't like Josh Groban.
What? Why? Why would anyone not like
forget,
Josh Groban?
I think he might be. I don't want to say it because then you say it and it becomes real.
What?
I think he might have been like one of the guys who's bad to women. Not
oh,
like.
Oh, I didn't know.
I don't
that.
Even know. I don't know. Kevin, while we go into this, can we get a search on Josh Groban and see why people don't like Josh Groban? Meanwhile,
I didn't know that part.
We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. I might be wrong. And I don't mean it in like it hasn't been like the Harvey Weinstein like era of the cleansing. I think it was before that even where I heard like he wasn't good to people. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I digress. The Game Awards are coming in December, but that's a long way away.
Okay.
If I want to know what games came into the mom and grab shots today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the kind of funny games daily show hosts. Each and every weekday.
Yeah.
I fumbled it, Greg.
I know, it's fine.
I fumbled it.
We all fumble once in a while. It's big. Out today, Anti-Gravitor is on Steam.
I think it's Gaviator.
I think it might be that I spelled it wrong.
Oh, you spelled it wrong?
Maybe. Anti-Gravitor, I think. Yeah, Gaviator. There's an anti-grav game out there right now.
It says Anti-Gaviator on here. But it also has Steam lowercase, which makes me believe you typed it.
Okay, so Kevin put in the very specific thing of why don't people like Josh Groban. Give me Josh Groban sexual harassment or something like that.
Oh, you know? No, let's not.
Well, this isn't even me being right. I've put that idea in your head now, listener/viewer, and we either need to say, yes, there were reports, or no, I was wrong. Josh Groban's fine.
Oh, Lord.
From the movie Crazy Stupid Love. Bloodstained Curse of the Moon is on Xbox One.
That's a good game.
Are you enjoying it?
Yes.
Still?
Yeah. Yes.
Have you beaten it?
No, I still haven't beaten
okay.
it. I'm slow playing it. Also, we've got E3 right now, and I'm trying to play about a half a dozen different things, but it is exquisitely designed. I'm savoring it like a fine wine.
Oh, good.
I'm savoring it like the fine wine it is.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, it's really good.
Homestar VR is on PlayStation VR. Riddled Corpses EX is on Xbox One, and Shape of the World is on Xbox One and Switch. You know what, Jared? That jogged my memory. Because I put a question in here about this. I want to do this. Look around here. I'm going to go down there.
Wait, well, yeah, let me check it out here.
Hold on a second. This, click there.
Let's see. What's that? You're hunting around.
Yeah, rabble. Here we go. While we're talking about Bloodstained, Patrick wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Kinda Funny crew. I have a question about Bloodstained Curse of the Moon. I am a backer and I'm still waiting for my Switch code. So when I hear that they are sending out review copies to games media and YouTubers, I feel that we, the backers, are taken a bit for granted. Do you guys know how it works with getting codes for backers and review codes? What's the difference? Because I don't want to be one of the angry commenters that Greg and Andrea were talking about yesterday. Thanks so much for the great show. Much love from Sweden, Patrick. Again, you're allowed to be angry, and when we're talking about a mean commenter who's just being a dick, that's different than being like, hey, I paid for this and I'm not getting it. Mm-hmm. That's not you being a dick. That's you very, you know, clearly saying stuff like this.
Yeah, and in my case, I got my backer code for Steam first, and that's how I played first. Mm-hmm. When they sent out the temporary codes as a make nice for the fact that the launch was kind of flubbed.
Yeah.
Then a kind friend of the industry sent me one of their Switch codes. I believe that guy's name was Greg Miller, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I got a bunch of Switch codes on night of release when you got your Steam codes, and when I think everybody got their Make Good Steam codes.
So I actually played it first through the Make Good code, which I really appreciated. We talked about this the other day, but I think that this is one of those cases where they definitely screwed up, and they screwed up about as well as you can, where they messed up, but they tried to provide people the most accessible outlet to play the game that they could, given the fact that they realized they were not going to be able to fix the mistake that they'd already made. So they were like, well, we can't get it on every platform for our backers first. We messed that up. We're going to tell you right now, and we're going to give you a code that'll let you play it today. Yes, that's a problem, but it didn't keep me from being able to play the game somewhere, so I was less upset about it. I also understand people's frustration with that. It's a smaller game project. I tend to be a little more forgiving of smaller studios when they're trying to do things like this. What about you, Greg?
It's not even that. I mean, I agree with that. They got to do this thing, blah, blah, blah. Patrick's thing is, do you guys know how it works with getting codes for backers and review codes? Yeah. What's the difference? I'm not an expert. From the little bit I've heard is, I feel like you're only given a certain amount of codes for reviews. You're so like you have an allotment for what this is. I think it's Steam. You can buy more. I would assume maybe for PlayStation. This is now an assumption. You can buy more for this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. If I had to guess, which you have asked me to do, Patrick, I would assume that the difference here is that for the backers codes, they're probably going through a different channel than they are for the PR codes of getting a game for review. Mm-hmm. And so while it a code is a code that you could give out to anybody, I feel like there actually is an allotment issue there of, well, we are waiting on the codes for backers. We haven't gotten the X thousand we need for that, but we have the codes for press. We need to keep the allotments the way they're meant to be.
Oh, that's true. One of the things I have learned from talking to people in the industry is that codes are not, even though it sounds like something you can just magically generate, it doesn't actually work that way a lot of the time, even internally, code numbers can be limited. Now, that's sometimes by policy, that's sometimes by resources or pipelines or confusion, but that does happen. So it could be what you're describing, Greg, that they were like, well, but obviously you're going to prioritize your PR codes because that's how your news gets out. I mean, without promoting some kind of incestuous conspiracy agenda, the fact of the matter is that PR agencies are going to prioritize getting codes into the hands of influencers and press because they know those people are going to have the loudest voices on social media because that's how that works. Mm-hmm. And, if I were selling a video game and I made a colossal mistake where I couldn't get my code into the hands of my backers as quickly as I wanted, and I had to sit there and go, well, one of my first questions would be to myself, can I still get it to the PR people first? Because I've got a good game here. I've made a mistake. I'll be honest with my community about that. And I still get it to as many people as I can. You're probably gonna prioritize the people who can get the word out.
And that's the struggle, right? Is like, yeah, like how do you do it? And I don't understand. Like, I feel like you should have your code by now, Patrick. I don't know what's happening behind closed doors. I would imagine they didn't think it would take this long to get this many codes, or what's happening? Why are they taking so long to get generated? What is the issue? I don't know. And again, this is all hyperbole and hypothesis, and we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Kevin, what's the check on Josh Groban before I go into new dates?
I think it looks like
he's clean.
Yeah, I
misheard that somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, Josh Groban's apparently a good guy. Everybody.
I think Josh Groban. Ever since I think he won me over with the Ben Affleck video.
The
weird.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, when he was on Jimmy Kimmel and he's singing passionately about having sex with Ben Affleck.
No, I don't remember that
never
one.
Seen that? No, no, that's part of. You never saw that? It had like the We Are the World with Robin Williams and.
Was it all about having sex with Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't remember this at all.
So there's this little video that Jimmy Kimmel did with Sarah Silverman and Matt Damon.
Yeah.
And the title of the video is "I'm fucking Matt Damon."
I've heard of that one. Yeah, yeah.
And then a few weeks later, they did a follow up that was "I'm fucking Ben Affleck." But the follow-up video was like this all-star cast with Brad Pitt shows up and Harrison Ford and Josh Groban and Robin Williams and all these other people. Huh. And they sing in a choir passionately about the sex they're having with Ben Affleck.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
yeah, that you should seems watch like it. A video cute, to watch. Cute little sure. video. Yeah.
Again, then shout out to Josh Groban for not being a dirtbag. You know what I mean? I've always liked his music. As I just sang, I Raise You Up. Mm-hmm. And again, I thought he was funny in Crazy Stupid Love. But outside of that, I don't know much about the man. So I withhold anything he may or may not do in the future, in the past, whatever. New dates for you. The Walking Dead, the final season, debuts August 14th. The Spectrum Retreats to play, or I think it's the Spectrum Retreat is the game, and it's coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC this summer. Another World is releasing on Nintendo Switch June 25th. Ark Survival Evolved Mobile is launching on June 14th. 1111 Memories Retold comes out November 9th on PlayStation 4, PC, Xbox One. Total War, Three Kingdoms, delayed till spring 2019. And then June 12th, Star Wars Battlefront 2 is getting all that solo film content. Deals of the day for you. This one comes from Tim, not our Tim, Tim Chatton. Tim Chatton wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hi there, Kinda Funny. In case this didn't pop in your feed, I noticed that PlayStation Now is having a sale on PSN for $10 a month, $30 for 3 months, or $100 for 12 months, something they used to offer but discontinued a while back. Keep up the great work with all of you over at Kinda Funny." We will, Tim. Thanks for the deal of the day. Jared?
Yes, sir.
It's time for Reader Mail.
I'm excited about that.
Reader Mail is brought to you by Omaha Steaks, which excites me. If you didn't know, Omaha Steaks ships meat to your door. Poultry, steak, bunch of crazy stuff that I'll talk about later. They send it all to your door in a cooler. It gets there flash frozen. You put it in your freezer. You defrost it. You grill it. It's great. How do I know it's great? We just did it on Memorial Day. It was great. A few days later, Kevin and I cooked up the chicken fried steaks. They were great. I liked it. I didn't know that. A long, long time ago, I sent it to my dad. He liked it so much, he sent it back to me for every holiday. Continues to do it. I love my dad. Father's Day.
Been to Omaha, Nebraska once.
Yeah?
Only thing I did in Omaha, Nebraska, besides leave,
yeah,
was go to the Omaha Steaks kiosk in the airport.
Nice. Very nice. All right. Did you buy anything?
It was closed.
Oh.
I was very sad.
Well, OmahaSteaks.com never closes, and they have a limited time offer for my listeners for Father's Day. You can get 78% off. It's an amazing deal. Go to OmahaSteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and get two filet mignons, two top sirloins, four chicken fried steaks, two boneless pork chops, four burgers, four jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and then four burgers that are ready to grill.
You know, that sounds like the best version of the 12 Days of Christmas you could ever sing. It's just that list.
Mm.
Like, that'd be way better than partridges and pear trees.
Again, get this limited time package for $49.99 when you go to OmahaSteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar for Father's Day, and you add that package to your cart. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Somebody online wanted to know in the subreddit, when does it end? Because they're worried about the money. Yeah. I did the research for you. It ends on Father's Day.
Okay.
So this offer ends on Father's Day. Go to OmahaSteaks.com, type KF Games in the search bar, and grab your dad and fire up the grill.
I'm so glad you got that answer for them. Did you drop it in the subreddit?
I try. No, I haven't had time. It happened literally right before the show.
Oh, no kidding. That's awesome.
And remember, nobody checks if you're actually sending it to your father. You can send it to yourself. Let's jump in here now. I want to start with you. Here, we're going to start with a wide-ranged E3 question from Zach.
All right.
Zach writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hey, Greg and Jared, simple question asked every year coming at you. What does Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony need to bring to the plate to be proclaimed, quote-unquote, the winner of E3? Same question for the third. Nah, we're not doing the third parties.
All right.
Also, what is being called the winner? Why? I'm sorry. Also, does being this so-called winner matter as much as it did a few years ago? Thanks for what you do at Kinda Funny, and hope your day is a hop, blip, and a jump.
Aw, thanks, Zach.
I like that. I like that we're adding that in there, too, now.
That's very sweet.
What does Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony have to do if they want to win for each one of them?
I'll start with Microsoft.
Sure.
Microsoft has to accomplish something very difficult. They have to give me a compelling reason to buy their hardware.
Yeah.
That... with games that I must play that I can't have on the other two platforms.
You are 100% correct. They have to impress us. They have to tell you why you need to be an Xbox fan.
And furthermore, I think, honestly, to win E3 from so far behind in the current generation race, they have to do that. And they probably have to give me some services that make that even more appealing. And probably Nintendo and PlayStation have to drop the ball. Because it would be very... Microsoft can come out strong. They really can. But to win E3,
yeah,
even if they come out with all these incredibly compelling things, I honestly think that Nintendo and Sony would have to both flub for Microsoft to be able to make that kind of they won E3 impact. Just because at this point, they really are coming from, you know... there are twice as many PlayStations out there, roughly, as there are Xboxes at this point, right? That's pretty behind. They have a wonderful, thriving market and a great product. I love my Xbox One. Not dissing my Xbox One, but they're behind this generation. It's going to take a lot.
Okay. I think it comes down to one word for each. Microsoft, I think it's impress. You have to come out here and make us all go, wow, fuck, we counted you out of this race. You've done all this great stuff. Like, you know how much I love the services. You know how much I love Phil. You know how much I love all these different things.
Yeah.
I need to come out of there like, wow, I can't believe the conference we just saw, the exclusives, the partnerships, the reason I'm going to be turning on my Xbox One month after month now, or day after day, even if they really want to get crazy. I think Sony's word to win is surprise.
Yeah.
The problem with Sony right now, right, when you talk to people is like, oh, well, we know the games are going to do, right? And like, yeah, you know, these four first party titles are going to focus on. But if they come out and they show you something that makes you go, holy shit, Ghost of Tsushima is insane. We saw Kojima play Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Then can you imagine, can you believe they announced this game? Can you see this partnership, this? They have to shock you. They have to surprise you. I'm sorry, they have to surprise you. And then Nintendo has to shock you. Because Nintendo's in the same boat of, cool, yeah, it's Smash. We're talking a lot about Smash.
Yeah.
And we already talked about these Pokemon games and this, that, the other. So cool, you have to come out of there and be like, they have to show you the Smash roster and have you go, what the fuck? They have to give you they have to give you that date that we all think is impossible. They have to come out and then here is Metroid. And here and like,
here is this impossible game that you never dreamed of.
Exactly.
That can happen there. And I do think winning E3 matters. He asks, hey, does this still matter as much as it did a few years ago? Yes, it matters for many reasons. It matters because you have mainstream press pickup during E3. So for the American market, it's a huge week. And being the person or being the company that gets the most attention during that is going to mean more mainstream pickup. And that's going to equate to sales in November. It means internally for companies, the idea that they won E3, that's very powerful for their marketing departments, gives them more flexibility for the coming year to make even better marketing decisions. It's actually really, really important the way that these trade shows play out for what's happening inside some of these companies and what they're going to be allowed to do. And that's really important. And also it can affect what kind of projects are greenlit. The response that we give to this, they look at the way that we've erupted in enthusiasm around something, and somebody can point, a developer can point, see people care, and they can suddenly sell an idea to a publisher that they couldn't before. That's a huge deal, and all that can come from this idea of winning E3. Plus, within our little world here of gamers, winning E3 controls the conversation on the American side for the next 6 months. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, E3, winning E3 still matters. I think it's different than what it used to be. Again, we're such a, you know, in terms of our entertainment in general, of Netflix, movies, this, the comic books, you know, we're so fractured that even gaming can be like, okay, cool. I think each one of these companies can win E3. I think all three of them can be winners when they leave E3, but it's just usually you see someone get so far out in front of each other. But everyone's in such different camps now of what they need and what they are expected to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's really what it comes down to.
It's really intriguing. I liked how you went to one word for each of them. That was really
cool. Thank you. You like that?
Yeah, very concise.
I mean, shock and surprise kind of the same. So as I said it, I was like, man, but no, I was like, you know what? I'm going to roll with it.
I think that in three words, you said much more than I said in three minutes.
No, come on now.
Definitely.
Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, I have more from kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, more Josh Groban stuff. That I think, again, I just want to give Josh Groban his full time here. I want to make sure we explain what's happening. This might have been what happened to plant seeds. He had a little bit of a controversy, according to Nathan. Nathan wrote in and said, as per Greg's request, Josh Groban gave some answers in an interview with Playboy in 2015 that came off as a bit off-putting. So I think this is what happened, is maybe what happened. I knew Josh Groban as like this gospel singer, right? Oh, he loves Jesus. Great. Then I must have heard this, which implanted. Well, maybe there's more to think. Josh Groban, he made comments insinuating that due to the romantic nature of his music, men going to his shows with a woman would likely have a long night ahead of them, and then some winks and nudges. Then, when asked a follow-up question, if people can look forward to the Josh Groban quote, you will get... Well, follow-up question, if people can look forward to the Josh Groban quote, you will get a blowjob at the end of the night tour. He replied with, listen, no guarantees, but it is highly probable you'll get a blowjob, or at the very least a handjob by the end of the night. End quote.
That's the article I pulled up.
Then Nathan says, my apologies if this isn't what you were remembering, Greg. Thanks for all your hard work, Jared and Greg. So there we go. We've given the whole Josh Groban timeline of what's going on. Again, very funny and crazy stupid love. Very funny and crazy stupid love.
I feel like you need a graphic, like Groban Watch.
Groban Watch.
Oh, whoa.
We'll be like, hey, is Groban fucked up yet? No, it's just saying weird things. Cool. Big Brain on Brad wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, it's the week before E3 and I am all aboard the hype train. As we hypothesize about what games Sony may announce pre-E3, I am thinking of one not mentioned. Super Hot 2.
Oh.
I think it could easily be the Wednesday announcement, and you're wrong, as a PlayStation 4 game with VR support. Maybe Saturday's anticipated PlayStation VR game. Greg, your PSVR episode on it was hysterical, and it got me to buy the first one. Anyways, have a great rest of the week, and choo-choo, motherfuckers. I like that a lot as a call-out of, they're talking about having a highly anticipated PlayStation VR game coming down the pipe. That would definitely be one.
I agree. That's a very good pick.
And that'd be a great pickup, too, for Sony in terms of, hey, exclusive.
One might say,
for a while,
look at the big brain on Brad.
Look at that big brain on Brad, everybody.
There we go.
I think this is where we're going to go. No, hold on. Maybe not. No, I'm not going there yet. Maybe I won't go there at all. You know?
Yeah. You can do what you want. You are master of your own destiny.
Here's where I wanted to go.
Uh-oh.
Dan Reb. Victoria writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, KFGD, long time, first time. Yesterday, Greg and Andrea talked at length about how there are no longer... about there being no longer any room for mid-tier games in the industry. What are you guys talking about? Sure there is. Most people I know, yourselves included, have games they play that are pretty much palate cleansers in between various releases. Greg has Friday the 13th. Andrea has Destiny 2. I have Tournament Cyberball at my workplace's arcade. None of these games are by any means game of the year contenders, but they're fun and reliable. I'm paraphrasing a lot here. Isn't that why we play video games? Because they're fun. Personally, I think the industry could stand to have more of these mid-tier, mid-priced games, and I'm sure the big publishers do too. Why else would companies like Take-Two Interactive or Square Enix launch studios like Private Division and Tokyo RPG Factory? Because we need more mid-tier games. Thanks for your time, Dan Reb.
We do need more mid-tier games.
Oh, yes. But I do believe Dan Reb is using maybe a more... what am I thinking of? It was going to sound so good. I was going to sound so smart.
You're very smart.
There's scientific language and common language. I think he's using common language for this, right? Because what he's talking about is, I was saying, man, we have AAA games and we have these indie games and that mid-tier AA game is kind of gone. Except here comes Vampire, whatever the fuck it's called. You know what I mean? Destiny 2 is a AAA game.
Yes.
Friday the 13th is an indie game. Had a lot of success on Kickstarter, got way bigger than it needed to be. Tournament Cyberball at your workplace's arcade, I've never fucking heard about. I don't know what that is. I assume it's an arcade game.
I haven't played Tournament Cyberball.
I assume it's an arcade game, which is different. I'm talking very much about that weird remember me space that very in line with Vampire.
Are you talking about the THQ-osphere?
The THQ-osphere, exactly. I was going to get there next. Like, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about we don't need... middle-of-the-road games that are just okay and fun. No, we totally need that. But I'm saying there used to be a space where those kind of games came out. They were just fucking happening all the time.
You're talking about that ukulele kind of game.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right?
We get more of them than we did for a little while when they vanished from the face of the earth, these kind of mid-budget games. But we still don't give as many of them as I think we used to.
PS2 was bonanzas. Yeah,
well, that's because the PS2 happened at a technological intersection that I don't think we're going to see again. Where art assets were still not that expensive because everything was being rendered in 480. I mean, that's the real... I think people lose just how much more expensive it is to make art for something in HD than it was to make art for something low-textured that you were going to be playing on a CRT screen. It costs a fortune to make art. It just does. And the more detailed and the more lifelike and the more realistic a 3D model is, And the more pixels you have to deal with, and the more angles and points of articulation that face has or that body has, the more expensive that video game gets.
Sure.
The more complex the engineering requirements are for 3D, and the more complex the artistic requirements are. PlayStation 2 existed at a time where you could spend just enough money on that to make it look comparable to what you were getting from AAA, or close enough, but not enough money that you were going to go over budget and have to sell several million copies to break even. That continued through the Wii for a while, but increasingly that space has largely just kind of moved over to Steam into what we'd call high-end indie. Which occasionally gets picked up by PS4 and Xbox One and Switch.
Where the water tastes like wine. Mm-hmm. He came on the show. Developer.
You're not talking about Bethel because that's water. No. Oh, you said water tastes like wine.
Yeah, it's like Johan, but it's not Johan.
I wasn't on this Shit. Episode.
Kevin, you remember his name? Can you give me a search for the name, please? Yeah. He came on. He introduced me to the phrase triple I. Mm-hmm. Not AAA, triple I for like, right. Here's that high tier indie game, yep. Right? Like, I thought that was really good.
Yeah, triple I games are the closest we're going to get to widespread AA development for a while. Now, I did talk about that. The nice bit is the tools are getting more accessible.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is that in some ways it's easier for more people to make video games than it's ever been. But that place where you're going to get like 40 people in a studio together making a game for console, that is a hard sell. Right. It's a hard sell to a publisher. It's a hard sell it's a hard sell to an investor.
And this is why I brought up, yesterday when we were talking about these mid-tier AA games, right, that you still see them, blah, blah, blah. I brought up Hellblade, right? Like, mm-hmm. That was definitely one of them. Yeah. Like, cool, here it is.
But I think that triple I...
Yeah, I'm in. Thank you very much.
The triple I space, as you describe it, is where I think a lot of the spirit of this lives on.
Now, Jared, this is the part of the show where I'm going to turn you over. There's a guy who wrote in with four questions for you. It takes up an entire page of stuff. I'm just going to sit here and drink my water because he's hosting the show with you. I'm going to turn it over to Saru Tobi Sensei.
Okay, right? I love the fact, before you turn it over,
yeah.
At the end of Saru Tobi Sensei's email on the doc, I made a couple of notes.
Oh, good. So you're all set.
My page is missing.
Oh, because okay. When you came in, the next page is yours,
wait,
yes?
Is that the next page?
Because you were just down one page.
I was just down one page.
The show started late today because the printer is printing one line at a time. It's very slow. I don't know what it's doing.
Okay, I got it.
Well, no, it's just that it came out so late. All right. So I'll sit in for the sensei here and I'll read this to you. All right. I want to thank Jared for recommending SMT Strange Journey Redux. I'm 25 hours in and don't plan on stopping anytime soon because it's an absolute gem of an RPG. My question is multifaceted. Buckle up, Chuck.
Uh-oh.
Number one, Jared, have you played any more Strange Journey since you gave your initial impressions on Gamescast? The game is still constantly throwing surprises at me, especially when it comes to the demon conversing system.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your updated current impressions.
Okay, so this is a remake of a game that I played on DS originally. So I definitely got farther in the DS version than I've gotten in the 3DS version. And E3 is coming, so I haven't gotten to play much of it since. Once E3 is over, I think this will be my hibernation game. Do that 2 or 3 day recovery. Yeah, I'm just going to sit in my living room for 3 days and do nothing but play it. But I'm not much farther along than I was last time we talked about this on here, I believe.
Okay.
But I'm not as far along as I've been in the game before either. I'm in kind of a weird place there.
Number two, the sensei says, did I strike gold with this game, or can you recommend other RPGs outside of SMT that might strike a similar resonance with me? Specifically available on 3DS or Vita, Virtual Console, or Modern. Something more adult and grittier than your average anime-ass JRPG.
Yeah, I grabbed a few things for you. The choices on those platforms are not especially broad for kind of gritty or evocative of SMT games. Obviously, like you said, the Shin Megami Tensei games, SMT4 falls into that window, absolutely. But a few other places to look that you're going to find something that's a little different than what you're used to associating with JRPGs. Two of these, both old PSP games that you can play in Vita, Final Fantasy Tactics, War of the Lions, and Tactics Ogre.
Yeah, I thought you were going with that. I cheered too. I knew it was coming.
Right. Both those games have marvelously mature storylines, deep mechanics. Greg's a fan of both.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. Tactics I never played at all, really. Probably Colin was like, you have to try it. I tried it, it didn't click. And then Ogre, I had done demos for, and I was like, this game's awesome with the wheel and all the shit.
Yeah, Ogre's really good. Well, Tactics, the remake for PSP that's available on Vita, that's the one that, that's the version to play.
Okay.
Because it rewrites the story and it makes so much more sense than the old version. So don't play the old version, play the new one. Another one to consider, it's not as story-driven, and it's definitely anime evocative to a point, but Odin Spear.
Odin Sphere, real good, yeah.
Yeah, it's not really
that's
RPG.
Released on PlayStation 4, too.
Yeah, that's available several places, actually, but he can play it on his Vita. Right? Yeah. It's a Vanillaware game. It's neat, and it evokes some of that kind of more complicated spirit that you're looking for. Going back in time, I harp on it all the time, but even though it's very difficult to find in the Vita store for some weird, or has been for me lately, Suikoden 2, you can find Suikoden in the PSN store on your Vita, but it's hard to find Suikoden 2. It is available. It doesn't come up when you search for it, at least not for me.
Great job, PSN store.
And that's a shame, because Suikoden 2 is the really good one. Suikoden 2 is the best RPG on PlayStation in the original PlayStation generation.
Okay.
And you're going to look at it and be like, this is so anime. And you're going to start it and be like, this is so anime. And then you're going to play it and be like, this is freaking amazingly deep and brilliant and evocative and emotional and wonderful.
Okay.
We talked about the 3DS. Dragon Quest V is very cute and anime looking, but actually has a really neat story, especially when you get deeper into it. And while you're going to have cute little cartoon characters and stuff, it's actually one of the best RPGs on the whole platform. The Etrian Odyssey games evoke some of that same dungeon exploration stuff that you enjoy from SMT Strange Journey. They have that same 3D maze thing. They're made by Atlas. No surprise there. They are very anime looking. They don't really have stories, but the mechanics are super solid. Child of Light comes to mind as a more thoughtful, short RPG for those platforms. And then if you own a computer, even though you're asking for these platforms, PC is a great place to play more gritty or grounded RPGs. And a few that I'd recommend that aren't going to kill you on system requirements, Wasteland 2, which came out a couple of years ago, spectacular. The Pillars of Eternity stuff is amazing for that and has that vibe you're looking for. And as we mentioned earlier, not for the Vita, but if you have the PC version or if you have your old PS3 laying around, Valkyria Chronicles.
Hell yeah.
So that's a
lengthy list.
Lengthy list, yeah.
We're going to speed through your next two. Three, why was there no video review for SMT Strange Journey Redux on any major outlet? Seems like a big release to skip, in my opinion. How can you call the 3DS a dead platform when we have an Armadillo game slated for 2019?
I mean, that's easy. Yeah.
So I'll answer this for you.
Yeah.
Why there's no review here, all right? It's one number and five letters. 3DS JRPG. And I'm not trying to be an asshole, but like mainstream, like IGN's not going to dedicate a person to cover that. And like I understand that that's a niche thing. And that's why I'm always talking about, if you want to get your foot in the door nowadays, be that person, review those games, be the expert on that. And I'm sure there's a lot of great sites that Jared reads every day that are doing that as well. It's one of those things that's just not mainstream enough to connect with, right?
I listed a bunch of those sites recently, and
you did.
Some people were very happy, and some people were very angry about that.
What, they're promoting
sites?
Most of them
were happy. Yeah, but most of them were happy.
Whatever. And then we're skipping your last one. Congratulations, Sensei. You had a big part of the show.
Thanks.
Zach writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and gets the final question of the day. What do you actually expect to see from Spider-Man at E3? It's one of Sony's big four, and we've been told we're getting a deep dive into it. However, it comes out in less than 3 months. I've looked through previous Sony E3 press conferences from 2013 onwards and haven't seen them do an in-depth look at a major exclusive this close to release. Should we expect to see more web swinging across the city, more combat, another set piece? With all the recent coverage, could Sony be showing too much of the game? Thoughts? Opinions? Am I crazy? Hope you guys have a marvelous day, and also a big shout out to the People's Champion, Johnny Ace. You're a liar, Zach, and you know it. It's a different strategy for sure. Yeah, the way PlayStation's doing E3 in general is very different this year, with these, you know, now daily announcements leading into E3, the pre-show, and then, yeah, we're focusing on four main things. You said, you know, do I expect you to see web swinging, more combat, another set piece? I expect to see all of those things, along with a major villain reveal.
Yeah.
I imagine this will be, I don't know how they're doing presentations, right? But if they're doing presentations, they'll probably do a trailer, someone will come out and talk, someone will pick up the controller, and then play through a lengthy demo. Maybe it's just trailer, straight into the demo, and that's it. But you're going to get a lengthy section to shine. And it's going to be, in my opinion, if I'm guessing and you're asking me to, it's going to be a major villain. I'll say Doc Ock.
No, we were doing E3 predictions for Gamescast last week, and I came within a hair of saying we are Venom. Like, I think that's...
Dude, don't... If they fucking do that, that'd be awesome.
That's how you close that trailer.
I just worry about it being so close to the movie that they wouldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess they worry about that. But on the other hand, why not? I mean, why, it's Venom. Dude, it's a Spider-Man game.
I think you're going to get an awesome demo that ends with a set piece and then ends with a cliffhanger like that, a stinger like that.
Yeah.
Fucking can't wait. It's time to squad up! This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and you all hang out and play games together. It turns out that Christian needs help. He is going to be at E3 and is looking for friends to walk the floor with, as well as maybe play some GTA Online. You can hit him up on Twitter at Senor Wright. And I'm going to spell it S-E-N-O-R-W-R-I-G-H-T. He's playing on PlayStation 4. I'm looking for some best friends for one final run this summer at the Heists and Revolver Headshot Challenge in GTA Online. I'm a modest smuggler with my eyes on becoming a total supervillain. I can even help bring along people who have never played before. I also love Fortnite. Also, I'm looking to make friends as I will be attending my first E3 next week. If you'd like to hang out or walk the show floor with me, please DM me at Senor Wright on Twitter or Instagram. Of course, I expect to see all of you and Senor Wright at the Kinda Funny meetup at the GameSpot. What is it called? Battleship?
The Battle Rig.
Battle Rig at LA Live.
I'm really imagining this is like some kind of like Optimus Prime that we all climb into.
It's like a helicarrier from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it'd be freaking amazing.
Our meet and greet is Thursday, 6:30. Jared's is Tuesday, 6:30.
At 8.
8
Tuesday
o'clock.
Tuesday
at 8 o'clock. Yeah. Hopefully we'll see you there and you can come hang out with us. And if you're at E3 when we're streaming on Thursday, usually the GameSpot co-op stage has chairs in front of it and charging stations. So come hang out.
Pretty cool.
Kevin, what do you got to say? Kevin's doing that thing where he leans back and makes eye contact. I know something's happened.
Remember earlier when you were like, who are we playing Fortnite with? Evan. His name was Evan.
Evan was the guy we were playing Fortnite with. Great.
Hey, and I dropped something into rotating segments. We'll save that for tomorrow because we're going long.
Okay. I already deleted that, I guess, then.
Oh, okay. Well, there.
Or I don't have an updated thing to it. Well, what fine. I want to do just is the required reading, the thing I tweeted you.
Right.
So what happened is I was on the Kinda Funny Morning Show before this great episode. Go watch it. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Or no, Kinda Funny. And I saw someone tweet me a link. And I was like, oh, and I have not had a chance to read it. So I'm going to give you the first three graphs from this Variety article from Brian Crescente.
Oh.
I don't know if it's news or if it's just an interesting read. I need to read it after the fact, but we can all do that together for required reading. Headline is this. Ubisoft believes next gen is the last for consoles as Microsoft looks beyond platforms. Some believe that the dedicated game console is an increasing hindrance to the growth of the gaming population and the works created for them. And leading voices in the games industry are starting to acknowledge that in some way too, thanks in part to the sudden rocketing success of full-blown major game releases on smartphones and tablets and innovations in streaming technology. Microsoft recently told Variety that gaming is becoming increasingly about having your favorite games available to you on any device you own. Ubisoft co-founder and CEO, and I'm going to add this in there, of course, Andy Cortez's boyfriend, Yves Guillemot, said he believes game consoles only have one more generation left in them before they fade away to be replaced completely by the ability to stream games to a multitude of platform-agnostic devices. Quote, I think we will see another generation, but there is a good chance that step by step we will see less and less hardware, Guillemot said. With time, I think streaming will become more accessible to many players and make it not necessary to have big hardware at home. Mm-hmm. So it goes on like that and continue. And the more Microsoft, I want to read it. I wanted to put it out there. That looks interesting. Variety, Brian Crescente, Ubisoft believes next gen is the last for consoles as Microsoft looks beyond game. Beyond
I have
platform.
So many thoughts on that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're back tomorrow. Let's both read it and we'll talk about
it. Yeah, sounds good.
So you all have homework. I have homework too. And also, I said the Yves Guillemot thing. If you don't follow along, Andy dates somebody from Ubisoft, but we never say that. Or we never say the person's name. So I just throw out every time that it's Yves Guillemot.
No kidding.
So when he goes on a date, I'm like, oh, I'm going out with Yves Guillemot. But I understand. I don't think I've made that joke on Games Daily before, so I don't want to throw you for a curve there. You're just driving your car. You have no idea what that means. That's the reference. Some people say we have too many inside jokes in the show, but I'll explain them to death. Jared, we asked the people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight.
I'm very excited to find out what we were wrong about today.
Charles J says this news broke while Nick was reading tips. Creative Assembly (parentheses Alien Isolation) is developing a new tactical first-person shooter IPA. IP. Okay, that's from Reset Era. We'll look into it.
You say that for tomorrow, I guess.
Brian McBrien says, Greg, you're wrong. You look great in that shirt. Wash with cold water and hang dry. You're golden. It's never going to happen. It's too much work.
Well, I wash and hang dry, but even then, you still get a little.
It's going to shrink. I'm going to get some shrinkage.
A little shrinkage. Like George Costanza after the pool. Little shrinkage.
Not
cold water makes it worse.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Kebab says, I searched Suikoden 2 on the New Zealand PlayStation store via PC just now, and it was one of the search results, along with 1, 3, and 4. So maybe you got a good shot at that.
Play 2. 1 is pretty good. 2 is great. 3 is okay.
Thank you. Okay. Cario Dude is arguing that I am, of course, the Kind of Funny World Champion, that this Johnny Ace, Nick Scarpino shenanigans doesn't count.
Yeah, you are the Kind of Funny World Champion.
Thank you. And then Ricard says, hi.
Hi.
Wasteland 2 is amazing and also available on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Both versions are amazing. Play with great with a controller.
Yeah, I only said PC, assuming that since he was mentioning handhelds, that he was looking for something he might be able to play on a laptop or something like that. And Wasteland 2 is not particularly demanding, so that's why I went with that.
Okay.
But yes, it is available on other platforms, and it's a heck of a game.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Thank you so much for watching. Remember, each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Tonight, read this Variety article by Brian Crescente, because Jared's co-hosting with me tomorrow, and we're going to talk about it. And when you finish that, go to Hot Blip and a Jump. Watch Jared's stuff. His death episode was real good. I'm all caught up now. I watched everything. I watched everything.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Also, the Red Dead show has Cisco in it now.
Yeah.
He does he sings the Wild Wild Guest song.
Yeah. He's going straight to the Wild Wild Guest. Recording another episode of Red Dead Radio tonight.
Who
is? Excited. John Ryan. He's coming back because
Dirtbag.
He's kind of IGN's.
I'm kidding around. I love John Ryan too.
Yeah. We've got kind of a news blowout for Red Dead 2 stuff. He's kind of IGN's guy for that. So he's coming in to talk for probably an hour about Red Dead news. So
All right.
Pretty excited.
Great. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been a pleasure to serve you.